Next case of the day, which is Kingery Construction versus O Street Car Wash. Counsel, I'm recused from this matter, so give me a moment to get out of the courtroom. Justice Miller Lerman will preside, and Judge Hall, District Judge Hall from the 6th Judicial District will be joining the court. So, again, give me a moment to get out of the courtroom and for Judge Hall to give you.
Morning. The next case on the call for record purposes is Kingery. Is that right pronunciation?
That's correct.
Kingery Construction Company versus O Street Car Wash. The Chief Justice is recused on the matter, and this court will be joined by Judge Hall. You may proceed. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. My name is Jordan Adam. I represent the appellant in this case, 6135 O Street Car Wash. The central question in this case is whether or not a party needs to prove prejudice in order to show that another party's litigation conduct has resulted in a waiver of an arbitration clause. Here, the trial judge found in this particular case that Kingery, by filing a lawsuit, knew of its right to arbitrate this case and abandoned that right and filed a lawsuit in this case. In other words, under the Nebraska law, state contract law, the court found that Kingery had waived its right to arbitrate. However, the trial judge, following this court's decision in the LaRue case from 2008, determined that I needed to go a step farther and prove prejudice in order to show that Kingery had waived its arbitration right. Based upon that finding from the judge ordered the parties to go to arbitration and state the litigation of the case, and that's the holding that we are saying that it is an error in this particular case.
When the case was argued before the district court, did you discuss the issue of prejudice and in fact argue that there was prejudice?
Yes, that was argued in front of the district court. We argued a couple different reasons. One, by filing their lawsuit, that they had waived their right to arbitrate. The other thing that was heard is, I think arguments were heard on our motion to dismiss as well, Your Honor, so it was kind of jumbled up together in one hearing where all that was heard. So yes, and then this discussion of the LaRue case came up and was discussed.
It was brought up by you as the movement, is that correct?
It was brought up by me, Your Honor, and at that point in time we had made an argument to that the arbitration, when they had filed an arbitration case, we'd asked them to orally stay the arbitration. So yes, we had brought it up during that discussion as well, Your Honor. And it's what we're advocating for, and I made it clear to the court that we are contending that they waived their right to arbitration by filing the lawsuit.
And did you make the argument to the trial court that prejudice wasn't an issue that shouldn't be considered by the trial court?
I believe we did, Your Honor. I mean, I brought up the fact in the case that there was a case that was out there, the LaRue case was out there, that had discussed about the elements that were there. And I brought that up, there was a discussion. I talked about why there was prejudice in this particular case, but I also made the point that in this particular case, it's simply by filing the lawsuit, that substantially invoked the litigation machinery, and therefore that they had waived their right to arbitration.
With or without prejudice?
That's correct, Your Honor. That is correct. So
is the U.S. Supreme Court going to answer this question for us?
Yes. Yes, and thank you for bringing that up, Justice Babbitt. I filed a motion to stay this appeal because the oral arguments in the Morgan versus Sundance case, which is an 8th Circuit opinion, that case, the oral arguments happened just a month ago on March 21st. And the central question in that case is whether or not, under the Federal Arbitration Act, whether or not to waive the right to arbitration, whether or not you have to prove prejudice. So that issue is going to be decided probably this term, probably by the end of June. So we've asked to stay this appeal. Our request was denied on that thing, but I think this question is going to be answered squarely by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court, when they decide that issue, is going to say it's a matter of state contract law under the Federal Arbitration Agreement, under the Federal Arbitration Act.
But this is nothing new. And you're calling it LaRue, I was calling it the Good Samaritan Coffee, but we're talking about the same thing, I think, right?
You're correct, Your
Honor. That, in turn, was relying on some Second Circuit law from 1991. It's not a new concept.
Actually, I think the LaRue case was relying on an Eighth Circuit opinion. I think it was the Golden versus Kelly decision from 2003. I think that's what the case was relying on, Judge. But the Eighth Circuit, to get back to your question, I think.
Well, there's also Llewellyn, which is an Eighth Circuit case. Isn't 10 of the 12 circuits all come to the same conclusion that prejudice is a necessary consideration?
You are correct that there are courts, Your Honor, that
majority
of the courts have found prejudice is required to show waiver.
Even the two circuits that haven't gone as far as to say it's a requirement, in those cases, didn't they also consider prejudice as well?
They didn't, Your Honor. I don't.
If they did, if their opinions talk about prejudice and weigh that as a factor, what does that do to the argument?
Well, they talk about it, that other courts have required prejudice, but ultimately...
Well, those two courts, in fact, weighed it as part of their consideration and talked about it, didn't they?
I don't think the Wisconsin case
and the D.C. Circuit case?
The Seventh Circuit case ultimately determined that you did not have to show a prejudice. And I think that actually what Judge Posner said was it's a presumption that prejudice is not required to be shown. And the D.C. Circuit doesn't require it either. And I would say... Your Honor, the Eighth Circuit opinion that we've cited for the case, the Erdman case, from 2011, talking about a construction industry dispute, there the Eighth Circuit said that prejudice was not required to be shown.
So call me old-fashioned. I'm looking at the Kramer versus Hammond Second Circuit case from 1991, which may be cited in the LaRue. And that's kind of going back a ways as to the idea that there has to be a showing of prejudice, but it's contextual. Is this a new lawsuit, or have you been at it for a few years? You know, who has suffered by the existence of the litigation? Have you suffered by the existence of the litigation?
Well, yes, Your Honor. I would say that we have. And I guess I'd put it this way, is that arbitration is the enemy of the trial lawyer. And in arbitration, we don't get a jury trial. In this particular, under the AAA rules, the American Arbitration Act, the rules of the game there, because this claim is less than $100,000, there's no discovery that gets to be served. We don't get to take any depositions or anything.
And I think you agreed to arbitration in the contract.
Yes, right? And it was waived by the act of Kingery filing a lawsuit. I mean, that's
potentially waived if there's a determination of prejudice. Your argument of prejudice is what? How were you prejudiced?
Well, for the reason I just said, Justice Funk.
That you have to arbitrate?
Well, the other reason why we're prejudiced in this case is the fact that we had to file a briefing on this matter, that we had to, there's travel time, travel costs, and all those matters. That's the prejudice that exists in this case.
It's not protracted litigation. You hadn't been in the trial court that long, right? So the context includes, quoting from one of those cases, determined contextually by examining the extent of the delay, the degree of litigation that has preceded the invocation of arbitration, the resulting burdens and expenses, and other surrounding circumstances. So I think Justice Funk and I are kind of asking you, how have you suffered by engaging in litigation?
The other issue that I've talked about is this argument that, and I understand the trial court did not decide this issue, but is our argument that substantively, by them proceeding, commencing their claim in litigation as opposed to arbitration, we have argued that under a section of the contract they've waived their claim by doing that. That's the other prejudice. And now it's going back into arbitration, and I know they're trying to argue that, well, hey, there's this funky rule, the AAA rules, that by us filing a lawsuit, we haven't waived our claim. So that's the other issue of prejudice that we have here, and that's, again, by them jumping in and filing this motion to stay the proceedings, they basically, that was the intent there, was so that they wouldn't get a ruling on that from the trial court. So that's one of the issues there. As I raised in my papers that I submitted in this particular case, this is an intentional decision that Kingery made to file a lawsuit. And I think that the only reason why they switched over to arbitration was because I filed a motion to dismiss on the merits. And that's taking advantage. That's the forum shopping situation that I don't think should be allowed in this particular case. I mean, as a plaintiff's attorney, one of the first things that you're looking at is forum. one of the first things you're looking at. They knew they had a contract, and as a matter of fact, the judge said that you knew that you had the right to arbitrate, but you filed a lawsuit anyway. The test in Nebraska for a waiver is only a known, it's an intentional relinquishment of a known right, and they waived that right. And the other point that I'll make is you cannot reconcile the LaRue case with your case from the Cullinane decision. You cannot reconcile the two opinions. In that case, this court was very clear that that these issues, the revocation of contract, the validity of contracts, it's based upon state law. And our state law in Nebraska on waiver does not require an additional element of prejudice. That was error in the decision. In the Cullinane case, that case was all about whether or not fraud should invalidate the arbitration agreement.
Was Cullinane under Section 2 of the FAA?
Yes, I believe it was.
Is this under Section 2 or Section 3?
This is under Section 2, Your Honor.
You're relying on the provisions, though, that talk in Section 3 about in default.
What I'll say, and I've looked at it both ways, the Nebraska Arbitration Act has essentially the same provision as Section 3 under the Federal Arbitration Act about the procedure about staying litigation and compelling arbitration and so forth. I think functionally, the question comes down to which law should apply. Should it be state law? Should it be federal law? And whether you're under the State Arbitration Act or whether you're under the Federal Arbitration Act, you're talking about state law for the contract defenses, and that's what should have been applied in this case.
Wasn't this a motion to stay arbitration under Section 3?
It was a motion to stay arbitration under Section 3, yes.
So does Section 3 apply or does Section 2 apply?
It's still under Section 2. Section 3, I think, has been cleared by the U.S. Supreme Court that Section 3 does not apply in state court proceedings, but what I'm saying is that functionally, there is the same methodology. It's a procedural deal. It's the same analysis whether you're in state court under the Nebraska arbitration or whether you're in the Federal Arbitration Act. You're still applying state law. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you can approach. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Please.
Your Honors, Counsel, may it please the Court. My name is Brian Kerwitz. I represent Kingery Construction Company. Want to clear something up. Appellant in this case talks about waiver of right to arbitrate. Appellant's whole case is a waiver of a remedy. He's trying to conflate a waiver of right to arbitrate with saying that my client has waived his remedy to relief. I'm going to address that when we talk about the whole purpose behind form selection clauses and how that is treated by the courts. Starting with the hearing back in June 29, 2021, appellant is who argued Good Samaritan Coffee Company versus LaRue and specifically argued the elements of the LaRue case and the prejudice requirement. I don't recall, as I sit here today, appellant's counsel arguing that prejudice was not a requirement under Nebraska law. I think it's clear.
Did they have to if it was mandated by LaRue?
I don't think they can change their horse after the fact. I mean, they made the decision to argue that the LaRue case required prejudice as a requirement of waiver. They argued that prejudice happened. Now, because none of the factors that would otherwise establish prejudice exist, there's not a single Eighth Circuit or Nebraska case that would support prejudice to them in the circumstance.
They discuss in their reply brief State versus Van, and there's a Basinger case about there's no need to ask a lower court to not follow binding precedent from this court. Does that have any application here?
To be honest, Your Honor, I've not looked at that too much in depth. There's a case, I can't cite it off the top of my head, but there is a case that's more recent that talks about that similar issue, and actually was an arbitration-related case in Nebraska. If I think of it as I go along, I'll bring it back up. But going forward, as you recall, appellants filed a motion to stay oral argument in this case based upon the Morgan v. Sundance case before the U.S. Supreme Court. The Morgan v. Sundance case, once again, that's a case about whether or not somebody waived a right to arbitrate, not whether somebody waived a remedy. By looking at that case and reading the amicus briefs, I stumbled upon something I should have stumbled upon before, and that is this idea of how courts view arbitration clauses. For example, the United States Supreme Court has held an agreement to arbitrate before a specified tribunal is in effect a specialized kind of forum selection clause. In other words, by agreeing to arbitrate, a party does not forego its substantive rights. It only submits to resolution in an arbitral rather than judicial forum. It's essentially an election of which forum I'm going to. This is consistent with this court's holding in Boyd versus Cook from 2018, a case that appellant cites in their reply brief. This court stated in Boyd that arbitration provisions are properly understood as contractual agreements between the parties to resolve their disputes in an arbitral venue. The court in Boyd then stated, while an arbitration provision, like a forum selection provision, may create an enforceable right to resolve disputes between the parties to the contract in another forum, such provisions do not bear on the subject matter jurisdiction of the court. The takeaway from Boyd is this. A party wanting to enforce arbitration has the means to do that. They enforce it by bringing a motion to compel arbitration under whether it's 9 U.S.C. Section 3 or Section 4 of the FAA or 25-2603 of the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act.
So are you arguing that if you in fact did waive the arbitration provision, you still have the authority to proceed in district court?
Absolutely, yes.
That's the position you're taking?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
If we were to find that prejudice doesn't apply or there was prejudice and arbitration provisions waived.
My client is not deprived of a remedy.
But that question's not even before us, is it? The district court hasn't ruled on whether you've been deprived of a remedy. Neither side is asking us to decide whether you get kicked out entirely in this case.
Oh, no, that's exactly what appellant is asking this court. Appellant is specifically saying to this court, hey, Kingery Construction filed an arbitration or filed a lawsuit, and so they have no right whatsoever. That's their whole position.
But the court hasn't reached the motion to dismiss the action. Is that correct? And specifically said, I'm not reaching the motion to dismiss.
That's right. That's right.
So if we were to decide that arbitration was waived, then you go back to district court and the court takes with that motion to dismiss and then goes to the issues of 21.6 and those other factors or provisions determine if, in fact, remedies were waived.
Yes, I agree. But going back, when you think about why do we have 9 U.S.C. Section 3 or 4 or 25-2603, just thinking about those conceptually, why would we have those if plaintiff is deprived of a remedy where, plaintiff files this lawsuit in state court and then defendant comes in and says, hey, the contract has an arbitration clause. You lose automatically. Simply lose because you filed in litigation as opposed to arbitration. We would have no reason to even have those statutes. The defendant would win always by a motion to dismiss. And that's also part of why we look at factors including prejudice, whether or not somebody waives arbitration. You don't waive your right to remedy. You simply waive arbitration. And this case is unique because of the manner in which it arose. Typically, it is a defendant who's filing a motion to compel arbitration. In this case, shortly after the lawsuit got filed, opposing counsel says, hey, your contract has arbitration. So what I do, I send an email back, and it's in the record. I said, look, I don't care if we arbitrate or litigate. If you want to arbitrate, that's fine. I made my complaint with the AAA. We initiated arbitration proceedings even before we had the hearing in district court on the motion to compel arbitration. All that was taking place.
If you don't care, and he wants it to be decided in district court, why don't you go back to district court and decide it?
I'm all for it. My client simply wants a remedy.
But you could do that.
No, that's not what they're saying, Your Honor.
The only reason this case went to arbitration is because you filed a motion to stay it. If you want it decided in district court, why can't you go back to district court and say, I don't want to go to arbitration. I want to decide this in district court. Let's decide the motion to dismiss.
Opposing counsel's motion, once again, opposing counsel's motion to dismiss is to deprive my client of remedy. Its motion to dismiss is, hey, you filed a litigation matter when the contract requires arbitration. You have no remedy now. That's exactly what they're saying. So saying, hey, you can go back to district court. I don't care where we go. There's no case law that says that they win because we filed a lawsuit as opposed to starting with arbitration.
Why can't you make that argument to the district court? If the district court agrees with you, you'll litigate this in district court. If they disagree, then you appeal and come back, and then we can decide that.
Two things. I prefer not to find out that answer. And second, I prefer not to come back on an appeal. This is a $45,000 case.
So you do want arbitration then?
I don't care. I just want a forum to hear my client's case.
Let me kind of take a 30,000-foot view and tell you that I'm a little confused here. And I'm looking down at this, and I'm wondering, can a case be dismissed but nevertheless proceed in arbitration? Can a court case be dismissed but nevertheless can there be arbitration?
Yes, depending upon whether you're working under 25-2603 or 9 U.S.C. Section 3. I forget which one, but certainly one of them is mandatory in terms of if a case starts out in litigation and somebody compels arbitration, you stay the litigation and you go forward with arbitration. In a different scenario, whether it's the federal court or state court, I forget, there's the option to dismiss the case because all the issues are subject to arbitration, in which case the case can be dismissed by the court at its discretion, right? Certainly the answer is yes. Sorry.
So does the Morgan case decide this case?
No.
Why not?
Because once again, the Morgan case is simply whether or not prejudice is a requirement for waiver.
Well, if prejudice is not a requirement for waiver, what does that do to your case?
My position remains, when you look at the reply brief particularly, as well as the motion to dismiss filed by appellants in this case, their whole case is you have no remedy, right? That's their whole case. And they base that, I do want to get to section 21.3 and 21.6 just briefly. They base that off of those sections. And when you read section 21.3, it does not say what they're contending it says. They're reading it to try to say that somehow deprives my client of any remedy whatsoever. Once again, we don't do that, Your Honor.
So I'm still confused why Morgan doesn't control this decision when we're only deciding whether there was a waiver of arbitration based on knowing there was a right to arbitrate, bring litigation to get the litigation machine rolling, and that would be the only two factors. I mean, the court already decided that you knew there was an arbitration provision and you brought litigation. So those two factors the court decided against you. The third factor was the prejudice. So if there is no prejudice, have you waived arbitration?
I truly don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. Once again, it's not what they're asking for. They're asking for no remedy. I don't care if it's an arbitration or litigation. If it gets bounced back to district court because Morgan says prejudice isn't a requirement, I'm fine as long as I have a remedy. Right?
Well, when you go back to district court, you will
find that out.
We'll take up the issue. The court will take up the issue of the motion to dismiss and decide then whether 21.3 and 21.6
right.
are in fact barriers to bringing the litigation.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there any time left?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you. You all are excused. The court's adjourned.